Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This is our gospel for today. Today's gospel text is a long reading, but I guarantee it's not tiring or boring at all. Instead, it shows the true heart of the Gospel of Matthew. God, our Heavenly Father, is a merciful and compassionate God for all the people and His whole creation. But you might ask, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? We just read the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 18, from verses 1 to 20. It seems that the gospel lesson is telling us a different story. Doesn't Jesus ask us to become as humble as innocent children in order for us to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Never cause one of these little ones who believe in Jesus to trip and fall. Chop off your hand or your foot and throw it away. If your hand or your foot is causing you to sin, if your eyes causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Love and honor those little ones in the congregation. Forgive and be reconciled with a fellow believer who does you wrong, according to an impartial, merciful, and patient congregational procedure. Last but not least, the Christians are granted an absolute authority to forgive sins in the holy name of God. You might be surprised by such a great authority granted by God. You might even wonder, really, how can this be? How can a group of Christians have such an unbelievable authority and ministry? According to many Bible commentaries, if you read, in fact, our first impression of the text is to be justified. Many commentaries call Matthew chapter 18 a primitive church order, or church moral teaching, or the life and the discipline in the Christian community. It is no wonder why we are struck, first of all, by the ethical elements in this chapter at our first glance of the text. It seems the text emphasizes Christian action, responsibility, and our role in the coming of the kingdom of God. It is true that Jesus' teaching in chapter 18 describes what a faithful Christian do, but not literally. But this is only one aspect of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 18. The real purpose of this text is shown by its context in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew as a whole. First of all, this is Jesus' words to his beloved disciples after his second prophecy of his death and resurrection in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, these words are not spoken to the Pharisees or the scribes. And this is the fourth discourse of Jesus' five teaching discourses to his disciples. We can have a brief review here of our gospel. After Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to 7. Many will call that the constitution of a Christian community. But I would rather say Jesus is fulfilled God's law in a total sense. This is Jesus' first systematic teaching in the gospel. In chapter 10, Jesus explains to his disciples the Christological nature of Christian mission and ministry. That is to say, Jesus is the true foundation of every kind of Christian ministry. Christian ministry is not Christians' mere doings or dealings on a pure human level. This is Jesus' second systematic teaching in our gospel. Then Jesus starts his third teaching in chapter 13 with seven kingdom parables. Jesus is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God, heaven, is not a human creation. Jesus' fourth systematic teaching on the nature of Christian life in Christian congregation in chapter 18 is today's focus. And Jesus' fifth and last systematic teaching is about last things in chapter 24 and 25. But do not be curious, brothers and sisters, about the end of this world, because you already know the greatest mystery already: God's love in Jesus Christ. God, Jesus, is the reality of God's last things. What is the purpose of our reviewing Jesus' five discourses in the gospel? Because this contextual review helps us understand and appreciate Jesus' precious gospel word of promise in our chapter. Everything Christian has to be built on this only unshakable foundation of Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And now I have come to our specific gospel text today. I'll repeat it again for you. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. As I shared with you in the beginning, this gospel text truly shows us the true heart of this gospel of Matthew. Jesus came to save the lost and the sick, not the perfect, the good, the honorable and the righteous. Jesus didn't come to just command us to do good works. He came, first of all, to sacrifice for us so that we can have faith in God and do good works for our neighbors and love them in Christ's love. Indeed, you know, Jesus' life is a life of seeking the lost ones for God the Father. As David and Abraham's son, the very purpose of Jesus' birth is he will rescue God's people from their sins. He's Emmanuel, in fact, God with us. He's not far from us, nor he doesn't care about us. In his incarnation, he became one of us for our sake. He came to John the Baptist for baptism, for God's righteousness, and for our salvation. He came to Israel to fulfill God's prophecy of salvation. He doesn't merely preach the kingdom of heaven. He is, in fact, the kingdom of heaven in this world. He loves his people. That is the reason why Jesus healed the Galilean people of every kind of sickness, of diseases. In the so-called miracle stories in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, Jesus truly showed God's merciful heart. The true power of Jesus' healing is not merely Jesus' great power to heal, but he alone took our weakness and bore our diseases. He came to forgive sin as God himself. This is Jesus' power. His sacrificial love on the cross, the forgiving of sins, and his resurrection for the salvation of the world. This is Jesus' life for us, the church and the whole world. Now, do you still think our gospel text is merely a manual of Christian discipline? If you think so, I would argue with you. Jesus' life ministry in the gospel shows us an absolute merciful God to us. He loves us and made us. We are the salt of the earth and the light on the mount because of Jesus. Jesus himself called to himself his 12 disciples and us to give them authority to build up God's people, to lead those strayed sheep back to the great shepherd. In the last chapter of Matthew, Jesus promises to his disciples, his whole church, to be with them in his mission till the end of this world. From that day on, Jesus was given the precious name of Jesus to make all nations his disciples, to baptize them and to reach them for the salvation of God's world. Jesus gave the Christian ministry to his Christian people. This ministry is God's ministry, so God provides, watches over, and sustains this Christian life and ministry. Sometimes it is very challenging, but still in his grace and wisdom in Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, how we see the challenging nature of the Christian life in chapter 18, verses 1 to 20. The context of the Gospel of Matthew shows us that this Christian life cannot be separated from the identity of Jesus of Nazareth, the anointed one of God, the Emmanuel, the God with us in our time and in our place, the Lord of church and the Lord of heaven and earth. The parable of the lost sheep in chapter 18 is truly the key to everything about Christian life. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? Jesus is working here. He is looking for the lost one. Indeed, he is looking for us every day, because it is God's will that none of these God's little ones and lost ones be lost. And we all know and believe this. Jesus did God's will in a perfect way in his life, ministry, and resurrection. When reading the precious word of Jesus in chapter 18, as God's children, Christians, and Christian church, we are all grateful and joyful for God's merciful and wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. We indeed have a most beautiful Christian ministry here in this life because of Jesus. As God's unworthy servants, we always look up to our merciful and forgiving Lord. Lord Jesus, help your servants. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen.